Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
Tired of endless walking, not knowing which way to go. I collapsed on a street called mercy. I was found in you. Throwing your arms around me, you held me like I was yours. Like you'd been there the whole time waiting, I was found in you.
You were all I want, you were all I need. Every breath I take is a breath to say I am yours now forever. You were all I want, you were all. Every breath I take is a breath to say I am yours now forever.
Wrapped up in scarlet kindness, you welcome the sin.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is family night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag.org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, as we're looking into the book of Luke, once again, chapter 18, those of you that have been following along, we're in verse number 28. I always like the book of Luke. I like the doctor. The doctor is very succinct. He helps us understand what Jesus was doing while he was on the earth.
You know, he's got a wonderful way of giving us the information, and he definitely collected some great stories, talked to a lot of people, did a lot of research, and gave it to us here in this wonderful letter.
And on verse 28, it says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. It's interesting. He's a lead man. He's going on ahead. There was a fellow I knew as a missionary. And if you're ever going anywhere, you would send him out because he was I don't know, if you used him in the military, he would be the front man. He was just always ahead of everybody.
Wow.
He'd just walk, and he'd be ahead of everybody. He was a walker.
So if there was any trouble, he'd be one to find it first.
That's exactly right. So here he's going on ahead up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there where no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you why you untied it, tell them that the Lord needs it. Amazing prophetic concept, words, directions.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit gives him a lot of insight here, obviously.
He definitely does. You know, hundreds of years ago, the prophet wrote about this and said that he'd be coming in, riding in on the colt, the foal of a donkey, and all of that stuff. So hundreds of years, the prophet, and then here's Jesus, and he finds the situation exactly like God had spoken through the prophet of old.
You have to have quite an insight. You have to be aware of your surrounding. You have to have some understanding of the scripture. You have to be quite on top of your game here.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know the Holy Spirit was helping directing him, but can you imagine the disciples when you get this kind of direction and you just say, well, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's just go.
Jesus said, we'll find a colt. Now, obviously, it was an agricultural community, so I'm sure there were colts all around, but Jesus gave them specificity right here. You're going to go in here, and you're going to find it just like this.
And no one has ever ridden him.
Right, yeah.
And that's pretty amazing itself.
Yeah.
And then, Brian, untie him and bring him heel. And if anybody asks you, just tell them the Lord needs it. Yeah. I like that thing. If anybody asks me, I need this new Jaguar.
The Lord needs it.
I don't think it would work so well.
I don't think so.
Go to the Audi dealer and tell him, the Lord told me to come take this Audi out of here. Well, he didn't tell me that. So. But that's what's happening here. It's just an amazing insight and amazing miracle that takes place here, actually, telling these disciples that there's going to be a colt there. Just pick him up and bring him back here. Yep. I need him.
I love it.
You know, sometimes we think about that, and I like what the Luke says. He says, tell him that the Lord needs it.
Yeah.
And the Lord has used donkeys in the past in the Old Testament to talk to people.
Yep.
And he's used donkeys when he carried Mary. He's used donkeys all the time through there. And you know, all of us, to some degree, God does need us. He wants us to be untied and be able to be used by him. And he needs us. The truth is, he really does.
He definitely is looking for willing vessels, and you know, obviously here's an animal that is willing to be led, is willing to be ridden. There's a willingness when you serve the Lord that needs to be there.
And so those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. I'm wondering how many times the disciples actually had this experience where Jesus told them to do something and there's no way he could possibly know what he told them to do was going to actually come to pass.
Yeah.
And they come and find, there it is,
there
just
it is.
Like he said it.
You know, that I know he laid down his eternal godness and his godly prerogatives when he clothed himself in humanity, but still the Holy Spirit was
led by the Spirit.
Was you know, speaking through him, and he knew things. He just knew. He knew what people were thinking. He knew what people were saying under their breath. He knew that there was going to be this colt that was never ridden, that was tied up to a tree. As they went into the town, they were going to see it right there. He knew that it was going to be there. And I think sometimes we just need to have our ears tuned, like you said, just to have our ears tuned to what the Holy Spirit is saying so that we can understand the direction God wants us to go.
And I think he probably would lead us if we were more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we're to do the same works that Jesus did, the Bible tells us. And so there may be times when we will actually do these kinds of things, not even knowing how they're going to turn out, but knowing that he told us to do it, we just follow and do. But that's a scary situation because as soon as you put yourself on the line, you're putting your faith on the line, and sometimes when people do this, we consider that maybe they're a little crazy. Maybe they're not really on the right thing here because they're not thinking correctly. They're just out there.
Yeah, it's definitely a step of faith in
definitely
in
is.
Many ways. Yeah.
So, but I think we can understand all of us, that the Lord needs us, because that's why he has chosen this plan, that he would work through men that were filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so his purpose and his plan is to use us, to untie us, if you will, and to allow us to move and be directed by his Spirit.
Yeah, and let the wondrous...
the wonder of it.
The wonder of it just overtake us as we obey what he tells us to do. And sometimes it may seem a little wacky.
Yeah, truthfully, yeah.
But when you follow the Lord's will and you submit to his will, it's glorious. It really is.
You hit a great point there, because actually whenever you experience something that's beyond yourself, something that's beyond knowledge, it's supernatural, then all that can do is heighten your understanding of who you really are.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting when you think about it. And so that's what the Lord is always doing. He's trying to help his disciples understand who they are and the mission that they have been called to do.
Amen.
And it depends upon the work of the Spirit, because this is not something that you can learn in a college textbook.
No.
I mean, you got to hear it directly from the Lord, and then you got to follow. I mean, that's not something that's written down. It's an extremely, like you say, significant, precise direction at a certain time, certain place, and it's amazing.
You got to be sensitive, like, you know, to the Holy Spirit. You got to be have those ears perked up, and you've got to be willing to take that step and allow yourself to be untied.
Right. And taking that step is not the easiest thing in the world, because you become vulnerable now. Those who were sent ahead went. They found it just as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, there here comes the owner. The owner's going to ask him, hey, where are you going with my colt?
Yeah, what are you doing? Thief!
I mean, you know, one thing when you find it there, and Jesus warned them that the owner is going to ask you. Probably the owner wasn't in sight when he saw the colt. They were going to go and they're going to untie him. Hey, this is really cool. Now all of a sudden they find themselves being confronted by the guy who owns the colt.
So were they stealing the colt?
That's a great question, isn't it?
Were they did Jesus tell them to go steal a colt?
Now, there's a question for we never hear that question asked.
I know.
That's kind of interesting.
They didn't ask permission.
No, they just went and did
it. Just went and took it.
I suppose if the man who was owner of the colt put up a fight, then he were stealing it.
Yeah.
In this particular case, there was some kind of understanding between Jesus and this man that only the Holy Spirit helped them to understand. And so there really is no theft there.
No. It's an interesting thought to look at, you know,
just
say Jesus sent them to go there, and he may have known these people. Obviously, his name was well known throughout the area in Bethpage and Bethany and all those areas, and I think Lazarus was from Bethany, and so he knew people around there.
He did.
And so, you know, here are these guys, they're coming in, they're untying this colt. They don't knock on the door. It doesn't say anything like that. They just go untie the colt, and the owner comes out, and he says, what are you doing? That's
right.
My colt. Where are you taking it?
Pretty amazing, isn't it? I know some people say, well, this is one of the great feasts in Jerusalem, because they're coming into a time of feast in Jerusalem. And Jesus had spent time in the wilderness, and there was a person who owned a house who had all these animals, and Jesus knew him because he was one of the Essenes, one of the people in the deserts. And so he knew he'd be there. He knew he'd have a house. And you can, you know, speculate on all of these things.
Yeah.
But what's happening here is the Holy Spirit is guiding Jesus' life. And I think I like that about this so
much. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know about you, but I'm the same way. I would love to be able to say, the Lord says, take a right here, take a left there, take a right here, and then talk to this person down here on the side. That's what we're all looking for. And in reality, there are times when he does that, but we're not very sensitive to how he does it.
Yeah.
Somebody walking in a grocery store, you come around the corner and you bump your cart into his cart. Maybe that's a divine appointment.
Amen. Amen.
You know, you don't know, but most of the time you say, well, I just bump carts, but maybe it wasn't really just bumping carts.
Right.
Maybe there's something else behind that. And I find sometimes I run into people who really have this evangelistic lifestyle. They love to talk to people about Jesus. They have this ability that no matter what happens in their life, they seem to be saying, okay, Lord, I'm listening, and I'm ready to work whatever you want. And they're just on target, ready to go.
And they can turn almost any conversation into a conversation about the Lord.
Yeah,
it's amazing to me.
It is.
Yeah.
And there are people that are like that.
Yeah.
So here, the disciples, they find out that what Jesus told them to do is coming to pass, and they tell the owner of the colt that the Lord needs them. And so they brought the colt to Jesus. So there's nothing between the Lord needs this colt and they brought him to Jesus. So there's no arguments. There's no anything like that. There was an understanding somehow by the Spirit. It seems good to us, seemed good to the Holy Spirit. And that is amazing when you have this unified understanding at this particular point. And if I think about what's happening in our world today, we need some divine unity in the way we're thinking about things. We have such a divisive spirit that's taking place that with this kind of a unity, that's really a divine intervention where all of a sudden now we see that this is something that the Lord's going to put together. The Lord's going to do it, but you're going to have to cooperate with me and I'm going to have to cooperate with you, but the Lord's going to do it together.
Yeah, I'm going to use my resources, your resources. We're going to pull them together. We're going to work together. We're going to accomplish one goal, one purpose, one plan. But like you said, there's such a division, even among people, among neighbors, among friends, among churches, there's so much division in the world right now. But here, there was a great unity. These men went. There was a small conversation, and it was like, okay, let's work together. Let's make it happen.
Terrifically miraculous, because today, over an object, you can have all kinds of difficulties over something simple. And here, because of the underlying work of the Holy Spirit in both lives, I would say that there is a unity here because of the Spirit.
Amen.
And so they brought it to Jesus. And now, interesting enough, they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. I don't think Jesus was tired. I think you're right. He was fulfilling a prophetic word that was in Old Testament.
Yep. And so they thought they were ushering in the kingdom. They were ushering in the king, that he was going to come and, destroy the Roman Empire. Who knows what they were thinking, but I'm sure that's what they were thinking. The Lord needs it. The king is coming. We sing that song, but here in their minds, here's this the king of Israel is coming. He's told people who he was, and we're ready for it. And we're gonna make this like a royal entry. Obviously, it's not a white stallion, and he's, coming in like a Roman emperor would come in. It's a little bit more modest than that.
Very modest.
They are, I think in their minds, they're setting him up for a political takeover.
Yeah, and like you mentioned before, it was Zechariah who prophesied that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, he's going to come in on a donkey. It's been prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9. And so here, he is fulfilling this.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling the disciples at this juncture must have been able to put two and two together. They probably understood that scripture. Maybe he had taught, read from that particular book a week before, 2 weeks before, who knows. But they're obviously taking the right steps, because they're putting their clothing on this donkey for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem, expecting him to do like you said.
Yeah.
Set up the kingdom.
Yeah. They're ready. Yeah, they're definitely ready for it.
They're ready.
So they're taking off their cloaks. They're honoring him. Whatever they do, this is, obviously a cultural sign for them to say, here's our king.
And then they said, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, because the Mount of Olives is above the heavenly Jerusalem, or above the Jerusalem, which they considered a heavenly place, obviously. Sure. And they had to go down to the Mount, from the Mount of Olives, they had to go down, and then they had to go back up onto the Temple Mount. Okay. So they're coming down, and they're nearing this place, and now the crowd starts gathering and begin joyfully praising God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen. So this is definitely a messianic event, and they're extremely happy about this.
Yeah, they're fulfilling, like you said, hundreds of years ago, the prophetic word that was spoken, what would happen, and so precise. And when you think about Christianity, when you think about the Bible, and the events of Jesus's life and how he fulfilled so many things that were written previously, it's astounding, once again, that this one man who was a Jewish carpenter fulfilled so many of that. And right here, once again, is coming into Jerusalem, knowing full well what he has to do. And it's not what man wants, but it's what God wants.
So all the people are praising, and they said, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, they heard this. The crowds and the Pharisees say, teacher, rebuke your disciples.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a wonder to me, because the Pharisees would have known the Old Testament scriptures about Jesus coming in on the Messiah coming in on a donkey. You would think that they would have understood the miracles that were taking place, that there was something happening. You think the Pharisees would want Rome out of Jerusalem. You would think that they would really want the Messiah to come. And it's always amazing me, because these Pharisees now, they're in power. They're places of power. When you get in a place of power, you don't want to lose your power. Power becomes such a mighty force. Oh, yeah. I mean, when you look at what's happening in American democracy, it's all about my power, my position. It's, I can't worry about what's going on in the United States. It's not whatever that is. It's more consolidating my place, my power. No matter what I have to do, I'm going to cut down anybody and anything that's going to try to take over my power. And so here, obviously, the crowd is giving power to Jesus.
Yep.
Praise him, blessed him. They're accepting him as a king. But then there's another force that is trying to take that power completely away, because they're afraid of losing theirs.
You know, the cultural references here, you know, the Roman Empire and was so strong and so powerful and controlling Israel. And then you had the king, you know, that was in place there. And then you had the Pharisees, who was another level of leadership and ruling and, you know, power upon level of power upon level of power. And there was corruption and there was killing. And you go back and you read the historical, you know, data, and this king killed, you know, relatives and wives and, you know,
everybody.
And it was nuts. It was flat out crazy. And once again, these Pharisees are getting a little nervous, because they do have a pecking order out there.
Yes.
And the Jews, you know, had a somewhat of an okay relationship with Rome. And here these guys come in, you know, and Herod's going to get mad. Everybody's going to get mad. They're freaking out. They're like, this guy's going to mess everything up. Rebuke your disciples and tell them to be quiet before stuff happens. You're heading into the capital. Don't do this stuff.
And you know, when all this is happening, think about it in your own mind. People are praising him, all kinds of things happening. And then Jesus says this word. He says, keep quiet. If these people keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
Yeah.
Now, where does that come from?
Where does that thought
Whoa. Come from? I mean, that this inanimate object is going to cry out if these people don't cry out. Amazing how he just takes this and turns it completely on its head.
He knew his time was coming. He knew his purposes were being fulfilled. And he knew that if the people weren't saying it, the rocks and the trees and the fields were going to scream, here comes Jesus the King.
So he's making a triumphal entry. The most important thing, he makes a triumphal entry into your heart, and that you don't try to stop him from coming into your heart, but that you give your heart over to him. And then hopefully your heart will become not a stone heart, but a new heart. And God will bless you. Hey, this is Pastor Adam and Pastor Reed. Have a great day. God bless.